Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Now Twitter is just deleting tweets that call out the unfairness of the so-called fact-checking.
Yeah.
This morning I shared a tweet from a person on Twitter who advocates murdering women if those women believe in biological sex. Oh, got a lot of traffic. It's gone. Twitter just took it down. Now, there's another tweet going around from a kind of middle-income, middle-age, gender studies graduate, white lady who said about Minneapolis, burn it the blank down. Blank the cops. And it's got 15,000 retweets or so. Bunch of likes. That's glorifying violence. And Twitter has done nothing. I just got a note from a friend of mine. Hey, he posted that tweet. It's funny. It got deleted. Because he's tagging Jack, the head of Twitter and Twitter comms, the team that's running this. A team run by a guy who says, we fly over these flyover states for a reason, and calls Republicans literal Nazis. Don't worry, though. They're not election meddling. They would never do anything like that. It's just straight up and down fact checking. Come on. This is Twitter from Silicon Valley. You can trust them entirely. Coming up on the Todd Herman Show, bunch of people are frustrated with my take on the George Floyd circumstance, which I contend to be that I watched a murder of a man. And I understand the frustration, and I'm going to get to as many of those tweets as possible, plus more about we haven't talked enough about the uniculture this week. That is statists. And people who practice scientism, that is the worship of left-leaning scientists and celebritism, this is what we're fighting. It becomes more and more clear to me every day. It's the uniculture that we're fighting. So that's coming up on the program. But you know, we do things a little bit differently when we come to this day of the week. It's Fridays. It means it's an opportunity to spend some time with our good friends and Cairo radio legend, noon to 3 over there, 97.3 FM on the big stick. So Dory Monson joins us on the Todd Herman Show. You know, Dory, I've not been in talk radio as long as you, and it's difficult in these weeks that we've had with no news, just to, you know, make stuff up, taking calls about people's pet names, etc.
Yeah. It's just, sexiest cartoon character. Yeah. We've had to go deep into the bag of tricks just to fill 3 hours a day because nothing big's going on anywhere else.
I watched Wednesday afternoon. I was actually listening to your show, and you guys cut to the Inslee press conference. And
yeah,
I'm still
that was fun.
It's Friday. I'm still stuck on this. And one of the things that bothers me so much about this is that man bragged, Dory, about solving a problem caused by the arrogance and ignorance of him and the absolute arrogance of Susie Levin, who knows better. She knows with her background in data storage, you don't leave a honeypot like that unguarded.
Right.
And they did. This money was unguarded. She didn't have the very simple 101 fraud alert, you know, fraud prevention systems in place. Over, you know, $200 million is gone. And Jay Inslee stands there and brags that the fix is hiring more government workers.
That was one of the things that jumped out at me.
Okay. And all I was going to say is, hey, Jay, I remember this. When we screwed something up at Microsoft and it wasn't able to ship, I wasn't even a coder. I'm not going home. I'm going to be helping the coders. I'll get them coffee. I'll test things for them. Dory, we stayed sometimes 3 or 4 days on campus to ship something. They didn't say we got to hire more people. This is phenomenally tone deaf.
Well, it is. And, you know, I have a similar experience. I had a sponsor on my radio show, and it was when we first got email. So, I mean, this is back right around 2000. And it was a company that ships flowers. And I was doing their commercials, and all of a sudden, no fault of the sponsor, but there was a complete breakdown in the shipping chain. And the flowers that were supposed to arrive on Saturday didn't arrive. And so I sat on my computer fielding emails from my listeners. I'm on the phone in my other hand with the sponsor at midnight on a Saturday night. Because even though it wasn't the sponsor's fault, it wasn't my fault. I have a responsibility. When I tell somebody something's going to get done, I have a responsibility that it gets done. And so for 8 hours, I sat on my email, on my telephone, relaying things. The sponsor made sure every single person was taken care of. And that's how you take care of people. Jay Inslee's solution, as he articulated at his press conference Wednesday, is they've hired 500 more people and they're going to hire 300 more. State government is so bloated right now. He's going to have to cut thousands and thousands. Why don't they take the state workers who are collecting a paycheck while not doing their job during the stay at home and tell every single one of them, all hands on deck, employment security, we'll train you as quick as we can, and we're going to take care of all these unemployed people in our state. But instead, you and I both, because I know you're hearing the same things from your listeners, Todd, you and I both are talking to our listeners who have gone 2 months without a payment. The government destroys their companies, their ability to work by cratering the economy. And then the government can't handle the obligation that it has to pay out employment security checks. It's unbelievable. No, I don't blame you at all. That was one of many moments that just jumped out at me with instilling personal fury and rage during that Inslee press conference.
Well, and then there was this as well, Dory. I was listening to your program, I think it was Thursday, and you and I have the same, sort of the same feeling for Sideshow Bob, our part-time attorney general. He's been forced to conceal a lie he told about me. That's just the sort of person he is. And I again, the Inslee presser, I'll go back to Wednesday. Inslee said that this is his solution, Dory, to the fraud that was happened through Nigeria. We need to lambast them with the strongest possible language. Yeah. So they're in for a lambasting, Dory. And I know I saw the Norwegian flag, it's quaking. The government, everyone there's, because a lambasting is coming from James, and it's going to be big. He didn't mention.
I gave them a tongue lashing on my show Thursday. I said, "Gosh darn you guys, you Nigerian criminals! Yeah. I'm horrified that criminals committed crime." I guess
it's amazing. And this is a man. He said they criminalized COVID. This is a man who let criminals go because of COVID-19, who've gone out and committed other acts. But then you brought this thing up with Bob Ferguson, that what he's doing to people who rent rooms to pay their bills.
Well, Bob Ferguson sent out a press release on yesterday morning. And he said that there's a landlord that tried to go through with eviction notices. I think that everybody, landlords included, should do everything they can to work with them. But what the blanket prohibition against evictions by Inslee and Bob Ferguson has done, because it specifically says that the person doesn't have to be out of work. There is just an eviction moratorium. And so Bob Ferguson was bragging about going after this landlord, and now dozens of people won't have to pay their June rent at this one complex. And I read a comment. It was in the Seattle Times, but it just struck me so deeply. And I've got it in front of me here, Todd. The guy said, "My wife and I are low-income seniors with one rental home. The rent collected amounts to 70% of our monthly income. Our property taxes on this rental are due soon. We even do the yard maintenance for our tenant because they're always too busy to take care of their own yard. Several weeks ago, our tenant informed us he will cease paying rent starting in June and plans to remain in our home indefinitely. We don't receive any other income other than $1,600 a month pension. Now I have to provide housing to a tenant who refuses to pay rent. Should we vacate our home and live in our 1978 motorhome on the street? The guy asked. And I get back to, I wish somebody would take this to the Supreme Court, because this is a government taking of private property. And if this tenant has not lost his job, his or her, and is able to pay rent, the state of Washington is saying, now, even if you're able, you don't have to. And now this senior fixed income couple has to take the hit so that Bob Ferguson and Jay Inslee can tell the rest of the world how virtuous they are. And it's not virtuous to take someone's private property. If Bob Ferguson wants to pay the rent for this guy because he's hurting, Bob Ferguson should do that. But when Bob Ferguson orders somebody else to do that, that's not benevolence. That's theft by government.
It is a phenomenal comparison, because you had the Nigerians take advantage of Inslee's arrogance and ignorance and the pure arrogance of Susie Levin. Oh, it's just the state's money. I don't need to employ anti-fraud protection like I would do in my private businesses. I wouldn't do that. And I see this comparison. I want to know, what's the economic cost to all these people who rent their homes that the government has seized? And this is why I've been frustrated about a lack of skepticism. I want skepticism on every step of this lockdown, such as our mutual friend, the owner of Power Alley Fitness. I couldn't help but think, as I listened to Jay Inslee on Wednesday, Dory Monson, he talked about this capricious notion that 100 people in a church parking lot with masks on, that's safe. But buddy, you have 101st person show up, everybody's going to die of the COVID on the spot.
Right.
And I listened to that step, and I remembered what Power Alley Fitness did. They dropped 50% of their equipment. They took the temperatures of everybody who entered the gym. Employees, they took their temperatures every hour of the hour. If you showed up with a high temperature, you're a vendor, you're a member, you're an employee, you're going home. The right. members had to carry disinfectant bottles with them and wipe down every piece of equipment after they use it. And if they failed to do that, they were gone. Bye-bye. You don't get to come back. And I look at the steps that man took, spending $50,000 a month to keep his business open. And Jay Inslee has not required that of QFC or Home Depot or the pot shops. And now to churches, he's saying, oh, you can worship in your parking lot, only 100 people, none of those limits put on anybody else. And you know Mark Stein, who sometimes fills in for Rush Limbaugh on Fox News?
Yeah.
Mark said something so important about tyranny. He said, tyranny is always capricious, and it's capricious by design, because what they're teaching you is, what are the rules? Whatever the hell I say they are. And I don't know how anyone can come away from watching Jay Inslee and feel that this is not at least capricious and maybe tyrannical.
Well, and when you come after constitutional rights, and private property is a constitutional right, it is the most essential element in a free land. And when you start coming after constitutional rights in the guise of a public health crisis, that's when, you know, if we have our guard down that far, then I guess we deserve what we have coming. But, you know, let me get back to this Bob Ferguson thing. So he's going after the owner of a health club, because, you know, for whatever capricious reason, he goes after the barber in Snohomish. He goes after just all these small businesses that have said, we can't afford to live anymore. And yet, you have Susie Levine at ESD. And you know the way she got her job, right? You saw the background. I wrote a story about it on My Northwest this week. She was the U.S. ambassador to Switzerland and Liechtenstein under Obama. The reason she got that was because she had donated between 2008 and 2012, Susie Levine donated $432,000 to Democratic candidates and organizations. She gave $18,800 to Obama's reelection campaign. She bundled $500,000 in donations from others. And according to the New York Times, she raised $2.3 million for Obama's two campaigns. So those were her credentials. She was a Democratic campaign donor and bundler. And then Jay Inslee, for a cabinet level position, decides that she's the best person on the planet to run employment security. And if you go further into Susie's resume, she worked at Microsoft in the mid-90s on MS-DOS and Windows 95. Now, you're more tech-savvy than I, Todd, but has technology advanced at all since MS-DOS and Windows 95? Could it be that Nigerian scammers actually were a little bit ahead of this multi-billion dollar Washington agency when it comes to fraud protection?
Well,
or exploitation?
To be honest, the training that she got at Microsoft back then, it hasn't changed that much in terms of PII, personally identifiable information. The tech has changed. The ability to spot fraud has changed. Dory, here's a very simple thing. Very, very simple. There's something called Yop Mail, Y-O-P. Okay? Yop Mail is used by scammers. It's a mail address that's there and then it's gone, untraceable. I have email addresses for people who send me tips, which is, it's all secured email. It's all encrypted. And I don't give that out on the air. That's for sources. Dory, yeah. Commercially available software you could subscribe to now would flag anything that comes in with Yop Mail. And you get to a higher level. You get to a higher level. You think that maybe the fraudsters do you think they had 10,000 bank accounts? No way. These went to common bank accounts. That should be noticed. Why are we having 40% of these go out of state? Why are we having this? And this is what's remarkable. Inslee in March on Twitter bragged about turning off the 1 week delay from when you file for unemployment to when you get it. What did they do during that 1 week? They got in touch with your employer. They verified the information. And then they sent the money. He bragged about that. Here's what blows my mind. I'm imagining these Nigerians. So they're putting together this scheme and they're going, man, we might get 800,000 to $1 million bucks out of this. Man, I got to believe that they're sitting there after 2 weeks going, this is unbelievable. Yeah. This guy Inslee's an idiot. Then when it's up to $100 million bucks, I got to think they're going, wait a minute, this is a trap. This has got to be a trap. They're coming for us. And they got to be tracking this. And at $200 million, I wonder if at any time the Nigerians are like, you know, we got to send some of this back. These people are pathetic.
No. No, I'm guessing they're more like Scrooge McDuck. They have a swimming pool just filled with money, and they just go diving into it with chains, gold chains around their neck. Okay, so let me get back to Fergie for a second then. So here we have criminal negligence, and you know, you mentioned the Yop Mail thing, but also unemployment claims in 1 week went from 6,000 to 100,000. That's a 16-fold increase. So for them to have thought that was legit is we were running at about 4% unemployment, actually 5%. Washington is worse than the nation before all this on unemployment. So we're running at about 5% to have a 16-fold increase. And, you know, this is just math I can do off the top of my head. They would have to have believed that we suddenly were experiencing 80% unemployment, which should have been a massive red flag. And yet they just, just keep sending it out. So where's Bob Ferguson? He's going after the barber. He's going after the florist. He's going after the gym owners. Is he going after the criminal negligence that costs taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars at ESD? Of course not. It's a Democrat donor, bundler, untouchable. Yep. I said in my Northwest story, once you become that level of Democratic Party insider, it's like you're a made guy in the mafia. You're untouchable. They can't lay a finger on you. You know, is he going after Sound Transit, which has stolen tens of billions of dollars, continuing to tell lies? Just last week, Sound Transit said, we've never claimed that we would reduce congestion. And the folks at Washington Policy pulled out from the voter pamphlet where they said they would reduce congestion. And so that's a lie that ends up costing tens of billions of dollars. Does Bob Ferguson go after that? No, because it's all a Democrat project. It is a, the AG's office is a pit bull for anybody whose mind ain't right, and it's a protection racket for his party. And that is extraordinarily dangerous.
I agree. That's why I call him the Sideshow Bob. And I know he secretly, when he set up that fundraiser trying to raise money off my name, he didn't use that nickname because I think he wants to keep that one between him and I. It's a sign of warmth between us. All right, this is Dory Monson, Cairo Radio, noon to 3. He gets started with his big show in about 3 hours, about 3.5 hours over on Cairo Radio. Well, I just appreciate you having me on, my friend. Godspeed to you.
And to you, and when Alex gets David Gates in the studio live some Friday morning to play me in and out, I will really be impressed.
All right, we'll work on that. Todd Herman Show will continue with your text messages. Another week with us on the Todd Herman Show. Right of the corner, 8:30. Rush Limbaugh will be up next. Ken Matthews filling in for Rush today. So every now and then there are these third rails in conservative talk radio. One of them has to do with dealing with issues with the police. And here's his point of view. I want to get across to you. I want to get to a bunch of text messages on this. They're government workers. Okay, just every bit as much as a bus driver. They do a different job, and it is a more dangerous job. And the bus drivers, because we've got a lot of bus drivers who listen to the show, but I regard it as a more vital duty. Driving a bus is a plenty honorable job. Right? And there are reasons for buses in society. I just tend to think transit zealots have overblown that. Cops do a different job. We know that. But they're government workers. And we have every bit the same right to observe the job done by a cop government worker as we do to observe the job of, say, Tony Fauci. So I look at mask mania. And I look at the tyranny that always comes with capriciousness from the CDC and the WHO, and now Thurston County, you got to wear a mask, etc. It's capricious. It's not backed at all by science. It's just not. And I can go through study after study. I put up on Facebook a 25-point bullet point reason backed in science and clinical studies why this doesn't make any sense. And being done at this stage, they're trying to get you to believe in absurdity. Worse, they're not even trying to get you to believe it. They know that people know this is nonsense, but they're trying to get you to do it. When people can get you to believe nonsense and to speak nonsense, they can get you to commit atrocities. Voltaire said something very similar in a much more elegant way. The United States media has gotten African Americans in the country to believe an absurdity, and that is that white cops willy-nilly go about shooting, and they prefer to shoot young, unarmed black men, unless they have to shoot an armed young black man. That's sport. The media has inserted this into the public consciousness, and it's an absurdity. How do you know? Because you can check the data. You can check the data and see that these cases are rare. And they need to be treated the way we're treating the George Floyd case, which is those cops have been fired. I want to talk about the George Floyd. I want to get to your text messages. But the same way we critique Anthony Fauci and Sleepy Jay Inslee, we can also critique a cop. I understand there are differences. I do. There's a vital difference. You're not the one who's making split-second decisions. And I say this constantly in regard to police shootings. Until you are there, until you smell what you smell, and cops will tell you, you can sense when it's going to break bad. You can. I believe that fully. There It's the case of the guy who ran from the cops up on Aurora years ago. He was his family described him as an up and coming rapper, very big guy. He ran away. He was tackled. He had a gun. There was a struggle over the gun. It was right next to his hands or in his hand. But he's held down. He's held down. There's five cops on top of him, and they actually then an officer felt necessary to take his life. And in that case, plenty of people said, oh, they could have done this or they could have done that. No, he's a huge man. He's very physically strong. There's a weapon inches from his hand. And the cops are going to go home at night. So I stood with the cops on that. This is a different case. The cop who had his knee on George Floyd's neck didn't have to stay there for 5 minutes. The law enforcement blog I shared earlier with you makes the same case. I'll get to the text messages because I want to be super fair on this. 253, interesting, I'd not heard that Chauvin and Floyd knew each other. Yeah, did you guys know this? They worked together. I know for a fact they worked together for a number of years at a restaurant, and I've heard that they worked together also at a gym as security guards. That is one more reason to wait for this investigation to pan out. It's too bad our nation will react only with emotion instead of facts and perspective. I would caution you to do that as well, Todd, because you and I both know police officers will be assassinated as a result of this, but nobody will spend the airtime to tell their stories, even if it makes the news. Not nobody, 253. I was on the air when Dallas happened, and I actually brought an African-American friend in to the studio to talk about it. And it's a guy I've become friends with since. His name is Dre's. We don't say rapper anymore. He's an MC. And he's making his way in Hollywood, making music for films. And we sat and had this incredible conversation with each other as those lives were taken in Dallas. And learned a lot from one another. I'll report on that. I hope cops are not assassinated. I tend to think you're going to be right in this. The relationship between Chauvin and Floyd, that's what I want to know. I see no proof that there's racism in this at all. Do you? I hear the media emphasizing again and again and again and again that George Floyd was black. You know what else he was? He was loved in his church. He left behind a gospel legacy in his church. He was a man who said to younger black men, stop shooting at one another. But they've relegated him to black man, George Floyd, when he was a man in full. On the text line, Jason, and it's 800-465-8770. I just worry that many voices of reason who've called for due process every term seem to have forgotten the due process principle. If it was my choice, I would drop the four cops off with the writers. Praise God, I was not asked for my input in due course of law. Sorry for the lack of bravery. I love your show. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that. Jason the Mason. I wouldn't have dropped the cops off with the writers, but I understand your instinct. And George Floyd did not get due process. The cops are going to get it. The neighborhood didn't get it because the rioters decided, well, we're going to go steal a bunch of stuff. We want things, and so we're going to take them. And how that helped George Floyd, everyone knows that's nonsense. Everyone. And now the neighborhood's destroyed. And the media is still calling it protests. Fox News. At the top of this past hour, listeners have pointed out to me, they said protests. Well, maybe they're speaking of the protests. They should also regard the riots. 425. That guy was clearly murdered. I have to say, it's very strange for an officer to allow himself to be recorded for 6 to 8 minutes murdering someone so the video of the murder can be shown to the public and get people's emotions going. I don't know what, but something seems fishy. It does seem fishy. Maybe the cop felt he was not going to get in trouble because he hadn't before. It's my understanding that he was investigated for the taking of a life earlier, and Amy Klobuchar declined to press charges against him. Maybe he didn't do any wrong. That needs to come out. That's an interesting angle. I need to know that. I'd like to know how well did he know Mr. Floyd? That's an interesting part of this. And yet when you're just going to go race, 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 black man, black man, black man, you don't get to the interesting levels like that level. What on earth happened in this earlier case? Why is that not in front of us? circumstantial evidence, but it's indicative of this guy's career. Rhino on the roads. Not giving excuses for what happened, but other than the video of the man pinned and choked to death, does anyone know what led to the altercation? I haven't seen anything on that, only the finality. You know what he was wanted for, Rhino? He was wanted for, I believe, forgery. Forgery. That can ruin someone's life. It's also nonviolent. Eric Garner, he was being arrested for selling Lucy cigarettes for about 15 cents a pop. A tax crime. Al Sharpton owes the state of New York millions and millions of dollars in taxes. Al Sharpton is not going to be choked out. It's a crime of privilege, but it's not a race thing. That was never a race thing. Nothing about it came out as race. The privilege is Al Sharpton's and mobbed up people in that regard. Peter Girl, I heard the cop knew him before. Yeah, we've been talking about that. Absolutely. Hysteria 51, I'm listening to news at the top of the hour. Why are they calling it a protest and not a riot? I don't know. Fox News, I don't know why Fox News would do that. Casey from Auburn. A man that has been detained should not have a cop with his knee in his neck. My friends that are cops and correction officers are condemning this officer, saying the cop needs to be arrested and put in prison. They were trained to sit them up, not pin them after the threat is no longer present. 509, thanks for the dedication. Thank you, 509. Yeah, 509, we got to celebrate Seattle Spirit together. All right, so one more set of text messages. Kind of from a different direction, I think. Used to be a police. This George Floyd case is disgusting. Every one of my friends and former co-workers in law enforcement is shocked, disgusted, and confused by how this happened. The officer had so many opportunities to hear bystanders warn him that he was hurting George. I can't understand it. It's heartbreaking to watch. I'm sorry for his family and friends and the people on the scene who tried to help. I'm praying for you all. God rest George Floyd's soul. That's where I'm at. 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes. What choices do you have in that period of time? There are other officers there. Hey, this guy is still a threat. Someone get his feet in handcuffs. Let's hog tie him, then put him on his side so he can breathe. Get off the guy for a second. Let him be on his side. And if he is struggling and you have a number of options you can undertake. But staying with your knee on someone's neck for 5-6 minutes while someone's saying he's starting to bleed from his nose. And if you've not heard the audio, then you've not heard George Floyd labor to breathe. It goes from I can't breathe. And look, I get it. If you can say you can't breathe, you're breathing, except your body is telling you this is getting really hard. You do know that your lung muscles can wear out, right? Do you know that? It can become so hard to breathe, such a labor to breathe, that the same way you can lose grip when you're trying to hang from a bar or do pull-ups or you're carrying something heavy, you can have the same thing happen with your lungs. They can become exhausted from trying to draw breath. Have you been choked out? I have. I had a wrestling coach who was a bit of a psycho. Well, bit of. It's a crazy, scary feeling because you don't know you're going to wake back up. You're going out. Now, that can be done very quickly. Doesn't need to take 5 minutes. He's a public employee, this cop. He's a government worker, this cop. We get to critique this. If there's some evidence that comes to the table that exonerates the cop, what would it be? George Floyd was high? Okay. He was making threats? Okay, but he was retained. He was detained. He was on his stomach. It's okay to hold to account even the most honorable jobs, even the most important and vital. And today I'll leave here, I'll go see a cop driving down the road, and I will look at that officer and I will regard that officer as what I always do, someone who stands between us and chaos. Because these cops in Minneapolis, they don't mean anything in relation to other cops anywhere. That's them. They're separate human beings. Hope that helps get my point of view across in this. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show, wrap up the day with a personal note on AM 770 KTTH. Personal note today, when I talk about this portion of my life, I am sometimes accused, variously, of trying to negate my white privilege. Be happy to debate anybody who can describe to me what that means. Because if there's white privilege, then there's black privilege and Asian privilege. And we never seem to get there, do we? Or I'm accused of saying, so then you know what it's like to be black. No, I also don't want to know what it's like to be a woman. So I do know what it's like to be me and to have lived in the Central District on about 21st and Yesler many, many years ago, and to be one of two white people in my building. And I know what it was like to learn to love the neighborhood. And I did have to learn. Look, let's be just totally frank with one another. I grew up in Spokane, Washington, in the Valley. In my school, I knew two black people. In sports, probably make that another three black people that I knew. So a total of five people, probably. Dad's friends, I didn't know them very well. So let's say that in my youth, before I moved to Seattle, I may have known seven black people. And two of them well. Okay. So I move into this apartment, which was a tiny little studio. In fact, the studio I'm broadcasting from now is about the size of the entire thing. And I did that because I could live there and afford to live there. And it was a learning process. It was a different culture. And people who say that cultures aren't different are liars. Now, was it an African-American culture? I don't know. I think it was a culture of poverty. It was a poor area. And most of the folks there were black. Are rich black people different? I would think. Different educational opportunities, different experiences, I would think. I think some of the rich black people I know probably say, yeah, I think I had it different than folks who grew up in the hood. It was the hood when I lived there. It was. It was just not at all unusual for people to be carrying TV sets and stereos down the streets. And it wasn't unusual for shootings to occur. I've told you the story. I was once kind of kidnapped. Well, a guy held a gun to me and said, you're driving me to the projects. Held a gun on me in my own car. So it was sort of that way. And it was beautiful. And this was the greatest possible lesson, was getting over the differences in culture. My God, it was a joy. My God, it was a joy. Because I had interpreted things that were cultural as rudeness. So I went to a barbecue place. Okay, so now a barbecue. Yeah, well, it was a barbecue place. And I walked in, and I'm the only white face. And the owner of the guy says, sit down. Or the place says, sit down. And I look, buddy, you ordered me around? And found a table, got out the little paper menu, and decided what I was going to eat. He came by with his little pad of paper, and I said, I ordered what I wanted, and I said, a Coke. And he said, no Coke with that. You have grape juice. And I was like, well, I want a Coke. And he said, no, no Coke with that. It's grape juice. And he turned and walked away. And he came back with the food. And I ate the food, and it was phenomenal. He cooked it in 55-gallon barrels that he'd converted to smokers. My God, it was sort of the stuff that you dream about that, you know, melts in the mouth, to use the cliche. Then I drank the grape juice. I laughed like a fool. How could I Coke with this? And he looked at me, he said, grape juice, right? Yes, sir. And this became one of my favorite places to go. It was called Barbecue. Fancy name. And next time I came in, walked in the door, stand there, go, sit down. And he said it to everybody. And it was his manner. And it was cultural. And he was dad. and a grandpa and a business owner. What was I? An aspiring business owner. One day to be a dad, perhaps one day a grandpa. It's easy, easy to hate them or those people. And the media is wanting us to hate one another. They want black people to hate white people very badly. They want the poor to hate the rich. It's part of the plan. It's really hard to hate George or George Floyd or people you go meet, because you're going to find the same thing I found when I lived in that neighborhood. You can fall in love with a bunch of people that never in your life would you ever meet if you didn't branch out in that way. I went back to the old neighborhood, and barbecue is gone. And it's been gentrified. And I hated it. Because that means I never get to walk in there again and hear, sit down. That culture is important. And I thank God I had the opportunity to experience it. So I look at Minneapolis. I don't see black people. I see some poor people. I see some people who've been conned on the long con. I see some families that have been broken. I see some people who are making decisions that are terrible and stealing from people and harming people and striking out in rage that has been instilled in them for a long process of telling them to hate the other. That's what I see. This is Todd Herman Show. We are every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. I will see you Tuesday. I'm going to take Monday off. I'll see you Tuesday. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.